I am fascinated, intrigued, and honored
you
by
may
the
have done what they said you did, but
they
you
are magnificent,
they
marvelous.
Say you are.
You
need to know that you're okay just the way you are.
Molded
in you as a child.
What you've been through matters.
This podcast is designed for you.
It's
love on a mission
hope.
In a world
about
where human experience
is
lacking.
My name is Ginger Wilk, and we're here to talk about that which matters.
Welcome to That Which Matters. I wanted to be able to take this episode to really talk about a topic that is honorable and worthy of an episode or several episodes. And the topic is about mothers. Mother's Day is soon upon us. And it's a time where the world, or our country at least, recognizes moms in a variety of ways. And I wanted to be able to just take some time and talk about this topic that is just such a beautiful one to depict. Mothers are sacred in the eyes of most children. I think you would all agree to that. Whether you're young or old, there's something very sacred about the idea of a mother. I mean, how many back alley or school recess or bar fights have erupted due to a sideways comment about somebody's mother? Grown men or people who are, you know, triggered or taunted, and somebody throws that low blow out there about their moms, that is just over the top, you know, something that a person cannot tolerate, because they're going to respect their moms no matter what. And I work a lot with men in programs, and I will tell you, when you talk about moms, everything kind of sobers in the room, because there's a respect that's there. Even knowing that their moms are not perfect, there is something that is very sacred about that role. And it's honorable. It's an honorable and valued role, and seems to be untouchable too. It's very, very hard for people to acknowledge flaws or mistakes or something that might be wrong or difficult about their moms and their experiences with their moms. And there are experiences that are negative, and moms are not perfect. That's for sure. They're humans, right? But for some reason, we really, really work very hard at keeping that in a place of protection always. And so I just want to talk about a lot of different layers to this. First of all, I just want to say that true mothers are not just the biological ones. Motherhood is very vast. Motherhood is very broad. And as we approach this season, I want all of us to remember that when you think about honoring a mom during this time, to understand that that role is really held down by a lot of different people. So, you know, in examples where fathers and mothers are incarcerated, for instance, grandmothers have been critical stand-in moms for what would be logistical orphans. In 2021, the stats showed that 2.33 million children in the U.S. were being raised by their grandmothers. I remember watching a documentary one time about a women's prison, and they interviewed a whole bunch of, they were talking about the children, but they interviewed a whole bunch of grandmothers that were getting on a bus and driving hours on a regular basis to bring the children of the moms that were incarcerated to see them. And they talked about, you know, how tiring it was, but how they were committed to it and how important it was to the children to be able to take that long journey week after week after week to bring them to their moms. But in the same way, they were also moms and have been. So thank God for grandmothers. How many times do we hear things like, thank God for my praying grandmother. Thank God for my grandmother who imparted this to me or that to me. You know, I think that that's another piece, is sometimes when there isn't always a closeness with a biological mother, or even when there is, a grandmother is also somebody who steps in many, many times, either officially or unofficially, and brings those maternal instincts to our lives. Foster moms are, when they're dedicated and called, they can be nurturing resources for terrified and grieving children. Think about children who have been removed from the homes. One day they come home from school and there are strangers there in the living room, packing them up, bringing them unwillingly in a car, and being dropped off at some random house with a foster mom. Well, those foster moms, some of them maybe not as good as they should be, but many of them, this is a calling for them. They're having strange children come into their home and they're putting them at the dinner table and they're treating them as if they're their regular biological children in the home and getting them clothing and bringing them to appointments and encouraging them and being there when they have nightmares. So foster moms need to have that recognition as well, because they have stretched their arms forth to many, many children. And when I worked in the foster care system with teenagers, oftentimes they would talk about a foster mom. Not all of them. Some of them ran away from the minute they got there. They discerned that this was not a good situation. But some of them, there were foster moms that saved their lives by being there at such a critical time. Sisters have stood in as moms in a lot of cases where maybe the mother is absent for whatever reason, or the mom is struggling with addiction, or the mom is dealing with mental health issues, and that older sister, and again, this happens with brothers as well. We're just focusing right now on the maternal, right? But that older sister steps in and takes over that role, gets that child ready for school, packs the snack for them, make sure that they have lunch, make sure that they're doing their homework, tries to figure out ways to protect those younger children. So sisters and even aunts can step in and be very powerful. And despite the fairy tale demonizing of them, stepmothers have been redeeming forces of love and nurturance. They're not all stepmothers that become witches and warlocks and that have warts on them and are horrible. There are many stepmothers moms that have come in, maybe the mother passed away or there's a divorce or whatever it is. There are stepmoms who come in and they wrap their arms around those children of their husbands or their partners, and they embrace those children as if they're their very own. And so that's a beautiful thing that happens. Mentors, neighbors, friends, mothers have become moms to us. How many times has there been a situation where there's this neighborhood house that everybody goes to? They're always over there. I was just talking to a colleague and she was saying that she went to a funeral and it was a friend's mother. And she was talking about the fact that this was like her mother. She was over that house all the time. She wanted to sleep over on the weekends. She wanted to be there after school. She was there during the summer. There was something about that home and about that mom that drew her in. And we can all relate to that in times, places where we've really wanted to be because we see something that either we don't have or we want more of. And so people who open up their arms and their refrigerators, you know, I think about the moms that have like, you know, boxes of popsicles in the freezer so that they can constantly have something to give out. They have extra food all the time and snacks and, they let people use their pool or, you know, their ping pong table or even just their living room to be able to experience nurturance. Or maybe it's because some of the kids, their moms and their dads are working and not there after school. And there just isn't a parent that's there in the home and they're able to step in and be that. So motherhood is something that's a lot broader. And the other thing that I want to talk about is the maternal instinct is very, very strong, very strong. One study determined that the maternity instinct is observed in the second year of life when observing a child interacting with dolls. So they just watched two-year-olds in a room with dolls, and they were able to depict over time the maternal instincts that just became something that they stepped right into without even a lot of role modeling. They saw that the maternal instincts were just there. We also see with animals how animals demonstrate protective and nurturing elements in their young in very fascinating ways. So we can see when you look at animals and you look at humans where the instinct is there. It's not something that's taught, it's not something that's shown, it's an instinct. For instance, the orangutan are the animals that have the strongest bonds between their mother and their young. Moms stay with their young for 6 to 7 years. That's a very long time for an animal. And it says that the females visit their moms until they're 16 years old. So there's a strong bond that's there in the orangutans between a mom and their young, where there is something that's so powerful. in their relationship with one another. And then when you look at polar bears, you look at how polar bears are in this very cold climate. And so as soon as their children or their babies, I should say, are born, they're keeping them warm, first of all, most of all, to make sure that they're warm, but then teaching them how to survive in that environment. Immediately, they begin to bring that into their regular interactions with their young. And the other thing is that the African elephants are a matriarchal society. And what that means is that the moms rally together. They're there to help one another. And I think about that when I think about how many single parent homes there are with the moms raising children by themselves, and how important it is that other moms around them, whether it's their friends, whether it's their relatives, whether it's their neighbors, they all come together and they help to raise those children when there's those gaps that are there. And believe me, those single moms are my heroes. What they're able to accomplish with working and being everything and raising those kids, sometimes they need some help, right? And so that society is much like in the African elephant society, where they need to have that nurturance that's there broadly. There's also a protective element. And, you know, I remember when I became a mom with my first daughter, immediately when I had her, I started feeling that way. I mean, I think it was the second night that I had her, I had dreams about, you know, things like I was going to mess up. I was afraid. I think one dream was that I put her in the microwave, you know, crazy, crazy dreams, because I was so afraid that I was going to make a mistake and I wanted to protect her. I remember thinking to myself, if anybody ever came into this house and tried to take this baby, like, I can't be held responsible for what I would do. Like, that, it just came over me. I was like, where did this come from? Becoming a mom made me fierce, made me ferocious, made me protective, right? And I remember there was one time when she was at the playground, and it was an indoor playground, I think, at a laundromat. You know, they just had like all these things. I think she was maybe 3 years old, and she had just crawled up, went up the stairs and went to go down the slide. And there were these little boys that were kind of hovering in that little tunnel of the slide, and they were not letting her get past them. And I remember just going over and I was like, get away from my daughter. Like, I don't even know what happened. I think I just saw red. And here I am like screaming at these three-year-old boys to protect my daughter. And they really weren't doing anything except just sitting there and kind of like, maybe they were being a little difficult. But to me, those protective instincts just came in. I've never saw that before until I became a mom, and there it was. And so there is that ability to really, really feel protective. And I think that what we need to realize is that it changes us. And I have seen some extremely shy and passive women in my life that once they've become a parent, they have become bold. They have become vocal. They have become strong advocates for their children. And it's such a beautiful thing to see them wear that on them when you just didn't even know that they had the potential to be just that. But when they became a mom, all of a sudden it awakened something within us as women to advocate for our children. Something comes alive, something that lays there in a dormant place just rises up. And one of the other things I want to mention is that, you know, God has a maternal side to him. It says in Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. I love that. God borrows the comfort that he sees between a mother and their children as an adjective or a description of the way that he comforts us. I know that really all those qualities came from God anyway, but he knows that this is something that we can relate to. Oh yeah, we have a picture in our minds of a mom. You know, maybe right now you can visualize a mom holding a baby and just the baby's crying and crying and crying. And that mom is just rocking that baby and holding that baby. And that baby is just slowly but surely being comforted. And that's what it's like with God. He's saying just like that, comfort comes from a mom. That's how I comfort you, which I think is so beautiful. Also, what I described in the teaching about the cross, about how Jesus wept over Jerusalem and basically said, you know, all of you, like you're missing it. You don't know that I am the one who has come to rescue you. And they have experienced somebody who, you know, ignored them and rejected them. And I remember working with one client and, you know, we were doing a group and he started opening up about the fact that his mother really never paid much attention to him. And, you know, he was off in foster homes and, you know, she willingly, I think, if I remember correctly, had, you know, basically given over her rights to him for whatever reason. And again, no judgment, because we don't know what it's like to walk in anybody's shoes and we don't know the motives. That could have been one of the most loving things that she did because she knew she couldn't handle taking care of him. We don't know. But to him, you know, it looked like rejection. It was rejection in a way. This was a guy who really didn't talk a lot about things like that. He didn't really open up. But I remember just looking across the table and looking at him right in his eyes. And I said, the truth of the matter is that she screwed up. She missed out. She missed you, knowing you, understanding you, because you're really something to be loved and something to be accepted. And you're a person that she missed out on knowing. And she messed up because of that. And nobody had ever told him that before. No one had ever said it. To me, it just came out of a prayerful place. It came out of a compassionate place. But it was the truth. It was her loss. And I think he just needed to know that he was worthy of being recognized, even if he didn't get that from his very mom. So I think that we need to know, too, and that's a hard thing with moms, is that we need to know that moms are just humans. We need to know sometimes that moms struggle with mental health issues. Some moms struggle with depression and they have trouble getting up and brushing their teeth and packing lunches and being able to do just the very basic things that need to be done in life. And so being a nurturer and getting involved in events and things like that is a huge reach for them. Some struggle with addiction. They're caught up in this bondage that pulls them away. In their hearts, they want to be that. Believe me, I've been in the prisons and met with women who have had their rights terminated, where they've come right back from court and they've been a mess because they stood there in that court and the judge finally told them that their rights were terminated. They get them to agree to it over time, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. They're giving up because they know that they can't be there and it breaks their hearts. It's something that it tears them to pieces to know that they can't be there for their children. And so there are so many things that can happen, whether it's addiction, whether it's incarceration, whether it's mental health issues, whether it's just that they really need to have attention on themselves for their own self-care and their ability to mother gets disrupted. It's hard to understand that. It's hard to understand that our moms struggle with things that maybe we don't. Sometimes we have to come to the conclusion that our moms are less mature than we are, less stable than we are. And that's very hard because that seems to be a huge conflict in our minds as to what moms are really supposed to be about. But at the end of the day, I haven't met a mother yet that hasn't regretted stepping away from her family, that hasn't lamented not being able to be there with her children in their growing up years. And so I think that we need to suspend judgment and understand that sometimes there are things that disrupt this process, even though it's instinctual to nurture. During this time, I also want you to understand that some moms during this season of celebrating mothers and Mother's Day, some women are childless and haven't been able to have children for whatever reason. And their ability to mother has been thwarted. And I want you to know that they need recognition as well, because I believe that every woman, if they truly want to have children, if that's a big part of their heart, they have the ability to be able to nurture others. They have the ability to be able to be that stand-in person. I have seen, you know, some women who don't have children that have been the most amazing aunts in the world, to their nieces and nephews. I have seen people that have literally, there's one woman who runs a residential program that never had children. And she has mothered and nurtured hundreds and hundreds of women and their babies because it turned into a maternity shelter. She never had a child herself, but this woman is an amazing example of a mother in my eyes, and I'm sure in many other people's lives. And so mothering is not just something that comes from having that biological child. And so I want to encourage, I always say Happy Mother's Day to the people that don't have biological children, because I will say things like, you're a mother to your stepchildren, you're a mother to your neighborhood, you're a mother of nations, because I know them and I know that that's true. And so, but I want you to be sensitive to that during this time and understand that it's not such an easy holiday for everybody. Or maybe people have lost their moms, like I have. My mom passed away 10 years ago. And sometimes that's a very difficult thing to deal with. But there are many, many situations where God can bring comfort and recognition. Psalm 113 and 9 says, he settles the childless women in a home as a happy mother of her children. So in other words, God knows when somebody really wants to have children, and he puts them in a place where they can be a mom, even if it's not their biological children. That's God's heart. So, and some have lost their children, like I mentioned, maybe their rights have been terminated, or maybe they've lost a child to death, and that's a very difficult time. So we want to make sure that if we're going to look at mothers, we have to look at the whole scenario, that there's some grief that goes along with it. There's some loss. There's some difficult scenarios. It's not so easy peasy to be able to celebrate moms. All of these scenarios need to be thought through. We need to have sensitivity for all of the above. And just to talk a little bit about my mom, you know, she's been gone for 10 years, and I would give anything, anything to sit down and have a cup of tea with her today. I still think about calling her when I have the common cold. Literally, when I'm sick, she's the first person I want to call. I want to make sure that she can just tell me I'm okay, or I need to drink tea, or I even know what to do. I don't even need that advice. I just want to hear her voice telling me, or just for her to know. When you don't have parents anymore because you're older, you feel a little bit like an orphan, even though you're grown up and you're the one that's supposed to run the world, which is kind of scary. You just want your mom, you know, and it's very difficult to not have her. And I remember that her last year that she was on Earth, my last birthday that she was around, she had written me this very long card. And the words were really shaky. Her hands were arthritic, and they were, you know, in a lot of pain. And so she said so many beautiful things. She mentioned a lot of memories that she had about me when I was a little girl, and just funny things and beautiful things. And then she signed it and she said, I love you with all of my heart and soul and mind. You were very much wanted, loved, and enjoyed. Happy belated birthday, Mom. And when I thought about those words, those were powerful words. What was she saying? You were wanted. You were like, you were planned. You weren't a mistake. And believe me, when people think that their children are a mistake, or you think you're a mistake, you're not a mistake to God. I'll tell you that much. But this was very much planned. I was planned. There was a discussion. There was an agreement. There was a decision to have me loved. You were very much loved. Like all the way through. You don't have to guess about that. You were loved and you were enjoyed. That's a whole other thing, to not just know that you were loved, because some people will be like, oh, well, you have to love me. You know, you're my mom. You were enjoyed. Like, I like you, you know, and some of us, I think we know we're loved, but we're not really sure if we're liked, not really sure if our parents like us. And so when I think about that, I think about what a treasure it was that she said those words, last birthday card that I ever got from her, and such a precious, precious thing. And I'm very aware that we should not take those things for granted. And I will always remember my precious, wonderful times with my mom, the times that we had together before she passed away, what she imparted, not just to me and my siblings, but also to my children as well, to be able to see her love them in this whole new generation. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And when she did pass away, she loved God so much. But when she did pass away, she basically said to us, tomorrow I'm going in the clouds to be with Jesus. And we were like, what did you say? And she repeated it. Tomorrow I'm going in the clouds to be with Jesus. And we said, okay, Mom. And sure enough, the next day was the day that she went to be with the Lord and that she passed away. So she knew to the very last minute. And I believe when she wrote that card that her time was wrapping up. What a beautiful thing to know, even though you never want your moms to ever go, to know that she had that planning in mind and that she was able to impart those beautiful things. And so just to close out, I just want to read some quotes to you. To describe my mother would be to write about a hurricane in its perfect power. That's Maya Angelou. There is no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. That's Jill Churchill. A mother understands what a child does not say. That's a Jewish proverb. And so during this Mother's Day period, I want to encourage all of you to be sensitive to all the issues around this role. And I want to encourage you to try to honor someone who emulates this role well, or one who is even just doing the best that they can. And to all the moms who are out there, you are a force to be reckoned with. You are worthy of honor. You are special and you are valued. And we honor you in this day. Happy Mother's Day.
In collaboration with IML Productions, this has been your host, Ginger Wilk, with That Which Matters. Thank you for listening.